This morning's reading is from Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 21. Thanksgiving and prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerts in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. May God add his blessing from this reading from his word. Alistair, thank you.
Thank you, John. Let's pray before we commence. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for your word, which is a living word. And as we've been thinking about prayer this morning, we're very conscious of the fact that we can come and listen to your word and to pray to you. So Lord, be with us this morning during these moments together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody make any New Year's resolutions this year? I didn't either. Just checking, because by this stage of the year, when you get into February, most of the New Year's resolutions are gone out the door anyway, so not much point in having them in one sense. But I also guess that January's been a little different for most of you folk than it actually has for us as well, or for me in particular. It's a busy time on the farming scene. I understand that. We've been down at the farm for the last 2 days, and they keep telling us how busy they are day after day, and how they've got to work till, 9 o'clock at night, shifting hay and dealing with the crops and so forth. And all that can be quite tiring. But having said that, I wonder if you still ask the same questions at this time of the year that I do, whether you're busy or whether you're not. Now, I've been grappling with verse 17 in that reading this morning, where it talks about keeping asking that the Lord, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So that you or I may know him better. And the question that keeps coming back to me at this time of the year is, how well do I actually know God? In the busyness of driving a tractor or a harvester, do we ever ask the question, why do I even bother to do this? And I think that's a question that we ask whether we're doing physical work or something less physically challenging, such as we've been doing this last week, childminding. Although I have to confess that can be very physical at times too, particularly now that 15-month-old children can run faster than their grandmother. Not a father. How well do we know God? And do we really want to know him better? Does anybody here remember Richard Preble? This is a generational thing, probably. He wrote a book. Do you remember what the title was? I think I heard it. I've Been Thinking. And it used to be up on the side of a buoy in Wellington, and I can remember every time we passed that, I asked myself, have I actually been thinking? Or is Richard Preble the only one who has been thinking? Well, I've been thinking and I've been praying and asking myself, is this year 2016, just going to be another status quo year where nothing actually happens? Or is it going to be a year when I come closer to God? To be a year of close communion, if you like? Or is it just another year where I fit God in around all the other things that I have to do today? Do I have that in-depth, personal walk with Jesus or not? On a personal level, I've been a Christian now for over 50-odd years, not odd years, but 50 years, and I've come to the conclusion that God still has something for me to be doing. There's still plenty of room to grow in my spiritual walk. There's still plenty of room to be even more confident in the faith that I walk in. And what is that faith based on? It's based on, firstly, the confidence in knowing the teaching of Scripture. Now, we're not going into it in any depth this morning. I don't know whether any of you, if you're all out, those of you who are elders, should have read the Westminster Confession of Faith. And the first chapter of the Westminster Confession of Faith outlines very specifically on how we understand Scripture. So, as a little study from time to time, it might be worthwhile some of you having a look at what the Scripture is. And it really gives a blueprint to understanding that Scripture. But we didn't read the first few verses here today. In the first 14 verses, what Paul does is give a very good job of outlining what God has done for us, of actually saying these are the basics of our faith. How blessed is God, he says, and what a blessing God has been. Why? Because he loves us to such an extent that we actually are the focus of his love. We are the focus of that love, and we have, as believers, been adopted into his family. We have been chosen to be his followers today. Often in speeches at weddings, you'll hear things like the parents of the bride will say how pleased they are to welcome the new bridegroom. Well, that's true or not. They say, let's welcome this young fellow into our family. And the bridegroom's parents will say how thrilled they are to have a daughter-in-law, a new daughter-in-law, who's going to straighten out their son. You see, they've become part of a new family. And that's what these first 14 verses are talking about, being part of God's family and being part of a people who can walk very intimately with Jesus. In fact, you'll see the words "in him" mentioned at least 11 times in those first verses. In fact, those first verses are just one long, complete sentence explaining this new life that God brings and the change that God brings. And this is the gospel he's saying here. Now, you need to understand that Ephesus was a place of, it was a hotbed really of occult activity. And that was something that had influenced every aspect of the life of people in Ephesus. And not unsurprisingly, for those who had changed to be converted, because Paul had spent over 3 years there, they had a certain fear in their own hearts. You see, at the center was the temple of Diana or Artemis. And so they needed encouragement. Encouragement of new believers. And he's saying, this is where the truth lies. Forget all that other garbage that you hear. You're free to walk now because you have found new life in Jesus Christ. You can walk with due confidence because these words in the Scripture are true and can't be changed. So Paul reiterates through his teaching here that he can confidently, and they can too, and we can too, walk into a new future because of Christ. And he's saying that our faith is not based on some airy-fairy thoughts of the philosophers of the day, but on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that we find here in the Scriptures. We are part of God's plan. We have been reconciled. We have been forgiven. We have been transformed, he's saying, to all the Christians there. And he said he did it for us. And he did it for each one. Somebody said these verses are delightfully, distinctly different. And that's true of a Christian believer. They're different. And as verse 14 says in the Message translation, it sums all this up. It says, it's been signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit puts a seal on that. It's the first installment, he said, of what's coming. This is what God has done for us today. And we can have great confidence in what we find in the Bible, because it's the teaching that's been given to us by God. It's inspired. It's trustworthy. It is God's word. But having said that, we can have confidence and encouragement in the way we live as Christians today as well. Verse 15, for this reason, because of the faith that the teaching has given you, you can now have this confidence to live for Jesus today. Today. And you can be confident no matter where you are or what you're doing, where you're living. Whether it's at the university or whether it's on the back of a combine harvester or whether it's child minding. Tuesday again. That's where we live. And that's where we serve. And it's there that we'll grow in our Christian faith. It is there that Christ will be with us and will allow us to know him better. And then in verses 15 and 16, he talks here about this living for today, and Paul gives a great deal of thanks for their faith. And every time I pray for you, he says, I give thanks for you. But he said that prayer is more than just giving thanks. It's more than just asking. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 17 and 18 says, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In other words, what he's saying there is that I know your situation, the situation you're facing today. I am very grateful for what God has been teaching you in the present. And despite the current challenges you're facing, you are free in Christ. And of course, all of that ties in with these earlier verses. I give thanks for the past, he says. I give thanks for where you are now, no matter the circumstances you're facing. And that raises the questions of how is my current situation? And this is what I've been grappling with personally over the last few weeks. I sit at my desk day after day and watch the inevitability of the seasons as they change. It's summer today, and it was summer for 2 days last week. But soon the leaves are going to change, and they will give away to the bleakness of winter, and then after winter the next season will come round and spring will bring new growth. And it's also inevitable that the grass continues to grow at the moment. But I'm very thankful to God that winter does come when I don't need to do the lawns. And I know it's the same for all of us. There is a routine, there is a rhythm in our lives. And it's right and proper because that's part of God's plan for us. And if it's part of God's plan for us, it has to be good. But we can easily become tired. We can easily become very weary in well-doing, as Galatians 6:9 says. The same old things, year after year after year. And we can come to church every week. And we can rush through our word for today just before we go out and put our gummies on. We can even attend missionary meetings in a few weeks' time, but still remain in a static position. We can still remain very lukewarm, like Christ had to say to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. And that's not a good position to be in, because we can, even as a church, remain very static and not move forward. But Paul says, I thank my God, I thank him for you every time I pray, because of your solid faith, because of your new family situation in Christ. But he says, I want to do more than thank. I want to ask the Father that he will give you, as individuals and as a church, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Paul is never satisfied that he's arrived spiritually. Neither were the Ephesians. And neither should we be satisfied just to be cruising through life, day after day. God said to Jeremiah in chapter 9, verse 23 and verse 24, he said this, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. These are the things that Paul says are worth considering. We're on a journey, and there's always more. You know, now that I'm in my 70s, I realize that most of my life has passed in one sense, but I also know that God still has some things for us to be doing, and it's those sort of questions I keep asking myself. What am I going to be doing this year? Am I just going to go through the same old routines, or has God got something else for us to be doing this year? There's always more. There are things to learn. And that, says Paul, requires the work of the Spirit. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. And when we're talking about revelation here, we're always talking about what God has said in his word and what he's showing us as his purposes. He's imparting what we might call eternal data to us. Wisdom comes from the Spirit and showing us how to apply the truths of Scripture, the truths of heaven, how we can apply those things into our daily lives, do we? In other words, he teaches us how to live today. He helps us to see more clearly what's going on in the world today and to have that confidence that he is leading us moment by moment and day by day. And of course, we've got the confirmation that God has promised that. He's done it. He has the power. He has the strength to do it. After all, he raised Jesus from the dead, as he says here. And so the closer we come to Jesus, the more we seek to understand what he's saying to us. And we can therefore also have great confidence in the future. We have the confidence in God's word. We have confidence that God is with us now, helping us to know him better as we get closer to him with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. But he builds a confidence through these things that the future that he holds for us is secure. 20 years ago, I got burnt out in ministry and thought, how am I going to face the future? So God says, I'm going to set you aside for a little while. And he took that time to show me that there was a bigger picture than simply my busyness. And the words here in Ephesians sees Paul praying that the eyes might be focused. They might be clear. So that you know exactly what God wants for you as an individual and what God wants for you as a church. To grasp the immensity of his glorious way of life that he has for his followers. One of the tallest buildings on the Gold Coast is the Q1 Towers in Surfers Paradise. Now, we've been to the Gold Coast a few times, I remember when that building was started, they were digging down for the foundations, and they seemed to be digging an awful long way down. They were huge, and I think they were very close to coming out in China at the other side. But it had to be built on a firm and a deep foundation if it was to reach up to 77 stories and penthouses for those who could afford it. But when it was built, boy, what a wonderful view. And we've been up it a few times to get the view right up and down the Gold Coast. We saw it last year, and we watched a pod of whales going up the coast from 77 stories. How are those, by the way? But when it was built, it created that wonderful view. Now, to get the great view of God's purposes for our lives, we have to have deep foundations. We can get a grasp of eternity's hope when we know Him better. And it's something that we can be sure of because God has told us so in His Word and has attested to it in the guidance He gives us on a daily basis. If we have eyes that are open and if we really want to see what He has for us. Now, Paul, despite the mystery and the confidence surrounding his own change of direction, his own encounter with the power and the witness of the risen Christ, still wants more, he says. I want to know Him better. Philippians 1 and 10 says, it talks about being able to discern what's best. And Paul talks there about being pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And the Message translation here says, you need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere, intelligent, and not sentimental gush. There's been a lot of talk over the last few days on the television from the United States. I don't know whether you're interested in politics in the States. But it's been talking about the influence of the evangelicals on the vote. I think the evangelicals did make an impact. And I don't know how they defined that term, but at least they're probably talking about people who are Bible-believing followers of Jesus. And if those followers are sincere and their faith is secure, it should make a difference. How much difference does our faith make in this area? But if they didn't do that in the States and they're just another statistic with no depth in their faith, they could well be doing more harm than good in the long term. Do you know that hope? Do you know that hope into which He's called you? A home for eternity. We have that confidence, friends, that as we watch the seasons go past one after the other, we can be assured that our hope is not misplaced. It's daily getting closer to meeting with Him. So I just ask, is this year going to be the same as every other year? Or is it going to count for eternity? Standing still is the same as going back, in my view. Our God is not one who demands 95% of us, but our God is one who demands 100% of us. How much does He have of me? How much does He have of each one of us? Let's pray. Now, gracious God, it's so easy just to get up in the morning and to do nothing other than to get ready to go to bed at night. We can be rushing after our own tails, rushing after our own self-aggrandizement, thinking that it's all about me. And yet, Lord, we thank You, as Paul does here, for each other, for the gifts that You have given to each person here, and the way in which You have a purpose for their lives, each one. And so, Lord, we ask that we might be open to the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we might grow closer to You day by day. And having gone closer to You, that we might be impacting on our faith community here and beyond. Lord, we've seen revival in this part of the world before. Our heart's desire would be to see it again, Lord. Help us to ponder our part in that. For we pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name.